Hello, and welcome to the Yoga and Yum podcast. My name is Sybil, I'm your host, and I am really happy that you're here today. And this is the place where we come to consider mindfulness, deep self-care, and adopting practices so that we can experience more yum in our lives, so that we can up level our physical health, our mental health, and maybe even, for lack of a better term, our spiritual health. And when we do that, we can start to up level the planet. And so thank you so much for joining me today. So recently, I was listening to a station on Pandora, at least I think it was Pandora, that features sort of old school music from the 70s and 80s. And one of the songs that came up was a song from Stevie Wonder. And I think this was probably maybe early 80s, maybe late 70s, not quite sure. But the song, the title is Love's in Need of Love Today. And I was really listening to the chorus, so I'll just kind of quote it. I'm not going to sing it because I don't sing. But the chorus is, love's in need of love today. Don't delay, send yours in right away. Hate's going round, breaking many hearts. Stop it, please, before it goes too far. And even though that song was probably written, I don't know, 40-something, 50-something years ago, it is so, it's such a strong, true sentiment for our world today. And I think that we've forgotten this in so many ways. And it may or may not be our fault. Maybe we just became mindless about what we let in. And I've done a podcast episode that's called How's Your Information Diet? And it really talks about the information that we let in, that we absorb, that we digest, and how that affects our nervous system, and how it affects just kind of how our thought patterns then start to form. And when I mean that we may have become mindless about what we let in, you know, there are so many systems in our lives that really want division. They want us to be divided. They want us to be afraid of each other. They want us to have this sort of us versus them mentality. And we see it everywhere, especially in the things that we absorb or take in the information. So we definitely see it in our own political arena here in the United States, and I would say in other places in the world as well. We see it in social media. We see it in the news media. And I will go so far as to say that we even see it in some of our religious institutions, which is the place that we should never see it. And that's really disheartening. And I think when we are taking these things in, especially if you have things going 24/7, you know, social media, 24-hour news, constantly, you know, spending time studying and just getting more and more and more involved with the political arena. I'm not saying that this is bad, but to kind of be careful because the energy behind it is that of division. It's us versus them. We're better than them. And they're less than us. We've just unknowingly or knowingly have become sort of like these, what I'm going to call black and white thinkers. And I'm not talking about race here. I'm talking about just kind of refusing to or not understanding that, gosh, the human existence, the just our being human in the world today is not black and white. We our experiences as we go through life, many of the stuff that the things that we go through aren't just this sort of all black, all white. It's not this or that. It's a whole bunch of things that sort of are woven in. And most people are not all good, nor are most people all evil. We are these beautifully brilliant and flawed beings that are just trying to figure it out. And I think if you sort of listen to the systems or start to buy into the systems, that these systems forget that. They forget that we are so complex. And even though we don't necessarily agree on everything, that there is a common ground for most of us. I think we can agree upon that. And it's safe to have conversations with people that don't necessarily agree with everything that you agree with, or that don't necessarily live their lives exactly the way that you think that they should or the way that you should. There's a common ground most of the time if we allow ourselves to see this. I think this is just really, really, really important to tap back into. It's really, really important to tap back into our compassion. Because the systems don't really have compassion. They say they do sometimes, but then their actions show something else. They want division. They want us to be afraid of each other. And some of the systems want us to kind of forget our compassion. You know, especially when we kind of look at what's happening on our political stage, whether you're right or left or center. There's just some behaviors that are completely, they're just not acceptable and lack compassion. Lack even just the basic respect that we should be offering to one another simply as human beings. And so my wish for all of us, and myself included, I'm certainly not perfect, and I catch myself kind of going into my own personal rhetoric about things. Again, how can we on a daily basis start to lean into our compassion for other people? So I'm going to give you an example, or just a situation that happened. I was recently in an airport. I was in Atlanta and I was flying back to Detroit Metro. And our plane was delayed by like 3 hours. And of course, when that happens, people get restless, right? We get restless, we're annoyed, we're tired, we're hungry, we can get generally cranky, especially if you've had a day of travel. And especially if you're traveling with young children. So there was this mom, and she had two little girls who were, as she told us, 1 year and 3 days apart. The oldest was 3 years old, and the youngest was 2 years old. Now, they had been traveling from Orlando, Florida. So from Orlando to Atlanta, and then from Atlanta to Detroit. And like I said, this plane from Atlanta to Detroit was 3 hours late. It was a 3 hour delay. So I want you to imagine, if you've ever had children or taken care of children, or if you're a teacher of young children, think about what that would be like for a 3 year old and a 2 year old potentially. There's lots of people in a space who are asking lots of questions of the airport staff. People are piling up there, coming with all of their stuff, all of their carry-on luggage. It's a little bit warm in this area of the airport, and people are cranky. You know, we're stressed out and hoping that they don't cancel this flight because, oh my gosh, what are we going to do if they cancel this flight? You have to go through all of that. So they're with their 2 and 3 year old selves are in this situation. And like most 2 and 3 year olds, they don't sit still. So one of them wanted to pretend to fly like an owl and be nocturnal. One of them wanted their lovey. And then the next one wanted to roll on the floor because there wasn't a lot of room to move. And if you've ever had young children or worked with them, you know that it's hard for them to sit still. It's hard for them to figure out what to do with their bodies in this space with all of these people and the need to move and not knowing what's going on and figuring out that they are supposed to be on the plane, but where is the plane, mommy? Where is the plane, mommy? They're starting to spin a little bit because I also imagine that they probably haven't had a nap. And mom is frazzled as well because she's waiting for the same plane in the same warm area with cranky people and 2 little active girls. And so as I was looking around the area of the airport where we were, you could kind of read faces, right, in body language. You could tell that some people were just sort of ignoring the whole thing. Some people kind of rolled their eyes like, ugh, I wish these kids would, you know, sit still or get it together. Some people sort of delighted in the children. I was probably one of them. I won't say probably I was, but not necessarily engaging them. But, you know, when they walk past, I would smile because I get it. You know, I get how hard this is for a 2 and 3 year old. Some people were really inviting, you know, so there's all of these things. And as things got more intense, you could feel the sort of tension rise as, you know, it took forever for them to board the plane. And there was all these problems with people and their carry on luggage. And it was just a mess. The whole thing we got there safely. The flight wasn't canceled. We got to Detroit. It was all good. But as I was kind of watching the people who seemed annoyed by the children and also seemed a little annoyed by the mom. Now she's flying by herself with 2 little kids. I thought to myself, and I may be being slightly judgmental, so I had to check myself there. Like I had to check my own self here that give her a break. Give these kids a break. This is a young mom traveling with 2 little girls on a flight that's been delayed. They've been in airports all day. These kids have probably not had a nap. They probably haven't had a proper meal because it's hard to kind of get yourself calm and sit down and eat food. All the things, and they want to move, and they want to play, and there's no place to do it. And mom is doing her best of trying to corral the kids and keep them entertained and deal with the fallouts and the rolling on the floor. And I just thought to myself, as I was kind of watching people, especially the ones that were annoyed, because they were annoyed anyway, and this was just another annoyance. What would it be like if we could all, even if you don't like children, you don't want to have any, in this situation, be able to see things from the perspective of another person? And to see things first from the perspective of the children, which is immediately where I went to, because I'm an early childhood specialist. That's what I did in the classroom. I immediately think about them. And so my heart kind of goes out to them and thinking, oh my gosh, how could this be easier for them? And then also being a mom, my first 2 children were born 14 months apart. So I know what it's like to have 2 little kids less than 2 years apart in stressful situations, whether it's doctor's appointments or other places where you have to wait. I will also say as I was kind of watching the people that you could see were kind of glaring at the situation, you know, this old school thought of, oh, can't you just control your kids? Can't you just control your kids? But the truth of the matter is, for those of us that have worked with kids or raised them or in the process of raising them, the truth of the matter is we can't really fully control their behavior without inflicting some sort of trauma. So if you're wanting your kid to sit still and they're 2 years old, you're probably practicing a behavior that is a little traumatizing to the kids because they can't sit completely still. That's impossible. And if they are just in need of movement to try to do things to strongly inhibit that, it's stressful. It's stressful for the kids. It's traumatic for them, even if it's a little bit of trauma. And it's also traumatic for the parent and stressful for the parent. So there's no way that that can really happen, that you can completely control the behavior of your children from infancy until the time they leave your house. You can't. You can do things to mold them. You can set limits. You can, you know, have that compassionate parenting, all the things, but you can't control it. And sometimes they just have tantrums. Sometimes they just fall out in public. Sometimes when they're waiting for 3 hours for an airplane, they can't keep it together. They're too young, and developmentally it's just not happening for them. Now you might have some kids that can, but many of them can't. And so instead of kind of looking for someone to blame in this situation, blaming mom, blaming the kid, can you step back? This is kind of my message to the people there. They're probably not listening to the podcast. Or if you find yourself in that situation, can you step back and see things from the perspective of another person, that maybe they're trying the best that they can? I'm talking about mom now, and I'm talking about the kids. Maybe they're doing the best that they can, even under the best circumstances of redirecting behavior on the mom's part. Maybe she's doing the best she can. Maybe this is as good as it gets in this situation. And instead of letting this annoy you more, could you lean in to compassion? And then I also felt when I was able to lean into the compassion for both the girls and mom, it eased my nervous system. And I hate dealing with messed up travel. That to me it's just really stressful. I've tried to plan for every circumstance I possibly can whenever I'm traveling. I'll try to get there a day before if I'm there for a specific event. So in case the flight is canceled, I don't mess it up or I don't miss something. I mean, I think of try everything I possibly can. And so it's stressful until I get to the place. But I found that me leaning into that compassion for this family, that helped me to self-regulate a little bit more, to help me to drop into a parasympathetic response more. And I wonder if instead of seeing everything through a black and white lens, that just because other people don't behave the way that you do or think the way that you do or believe the way that you do, what would it be like to lean into compassion a little bit, to try to see things from a different perspective, even if you don't know the full story, to just start there? And I think then we can start to tap into the deeper parts of our humanity and not be so influenced by the systems that guide us and govern so many things in our lives every single day. Sometimes we can change the system, because by changing us, right? If we change and we're part of this machine as well, we can start to shift the systems. But it has to start with us. And it has to start, in my opinion, with leaning into our compassion for ourselves and our compassion for other people, even if the situation that you're finding yourself in is extremely irritating, like having being on a plane or in an airport with two little girls who can't sit still and are flying around like owls because they've been there for 3 hours. They've been there for 3 hours. Even if they're walking up and down the airport halls, that's 3 hours. That's a lot. And just acknowledging that is leaning into compassion. Again, I am not perfect at this by any shape or form at all. But that situation reminded me of how important it is for me as well to lean into that compassion. And the other thing too is to start finding real community. Start finding the people who light you up, because finding community and finding the people who bring the best out in you is one of the most powerful things that we can do. It's uplifting. It also helps us to understand systems that are in place and how those systems might be affecting us. And when we are finding our powerful communities, it helps us more readily, as we have this connection to people, it helps us lean into compassion even more. So this may have been a little bit of a rant, not really, but maybe there were parts that were a little rant-like. And I seem to go off on a tangent a little bit, but I hope that this inspires you to just be a little bit mindful. And, you know, one of the yoga principles is self-study, and really study your own behavior. Study your own reactions when it comes to other people, when it comes to how you connect or relate to other people. Study that and then question, what are your whys? Why do you think you reacted this way? Why do you think this affects you so much? Whether it's good or bad or someplace in the middle. But usually when it affects you a lot, it's either positive or negative for most of us. And how might this be stopping you from leaning into compassion more? And then finally, how can you lean into the compassion anyway? And to know when you do that, it not only uplifts other people, but it also helps you to uplevel, and it helps your nervous system move from fight or flight into this beautiful rest and digest, this parasympathetic response that is so just deliciously yummy when you can find it. So that is the podcast for today. I would love your insights about this. Like, what are your thoughts about how the systems that exist might be affecting how you relate to other people? You know, have they been positive for you? Have they been negative for you? Have you even considered it? And are you willing to do a self-study and see how you react to the things that are? And see how this affects your nervous system, your spirit, your mental health, your physical health, all the healths. Because then and this is really part of living mindfully, when we can do that, then it's like other things open up and more possibilities open up, because we're moving from this place of purposeful action instead of just sort of swaying in the wind and going along with the systems and the powers that be. We can be our own power in our own center as well. And that's what I wish for you. So thank you so much for listening. It would be amazing if you would share this episode with someone who you think might appreciate hearing it. And as always, here's wishing you all the yum in life. Peace. Bye.